Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I, of course, am your host, Sharifa Hardy, but something tells me with the people we have backstage, I'm not going to get a lot of words in, a lot of time in. We have some talkers for you today, some interesting people, and you definitely want to go ahead and share this show. I know there's someone in your network, a friend, a boss, a spouse, someone who needs this information. Maybe they're just starting their business. They need to learn. Maybe they're a new entrepreneur. Maybe they're a seasoned entrepreneur, but they will not have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. And as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Ms. Mamika Cooney. Mamika is the leading personal trainer for your mind. As a faith-based mindset metacog mentor and coach, she uses a unique approach to rewiring the brain. She empowers frustrated female high achievers to unstick their minds, heal their soul from the mental mess, and unlock their true value. Good morning, Mamika. How are you?
Well, thank you so much. I love to do these things. As you can tell, I love to talk. So this is going to be super fun. I just can't wait to get into this conversation with like-minded thinkers and doers. So this is going to be fun.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Well, as you can tell, I have an accent. I'm originally from South Africa, but I've been living in the USA in North Carolina for 15 years. And I am so excited about entrepreneurship. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 16. That's what brought me here is moving my husband and I's business around three different continents. But really what I'm excited and passionate about today is really helping, especially women, but men too, they're invited to the party too, to unstick their minds using a rewiring your brain approach. Now, basically what that means is I help you think about what you're thinking about. So if there's big dreams and visions, or maybe you're feeling a little stuck, these are the kind of things I love to work through and help you become the boss of your brain. So I'm excited.
I like that, but I don't know, because half the time I don't even know what I'm thinking about. So I have to need somebody to help me think about what I'm thinking about. I don't know, but I love the personal trainer aspect. And it reminds me of one of my good friends, Miss Cheryl. She's going to talk to us. Well, Cheryl is an author, coach, and wellness expert focused on helping others find their personal version of ultimate wellness. Her passion is sharing the benefits of whole foods based low carb nutrition to create greater health. Good morning, Cheryl. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. And thanks for having me back. I'm really excited to be here as always. And I know it's going to be a great conversation. So what am I passionate about? Obviously, you kind of said it all right there. Health and wellness. I've been in the wellness space over 25 years. And much like our previous guest, I help people reach their potential. I just recently put out my first cookbook. So that's pretty exciting. You can find that at cookbook.healnourishgrow.com. And working on another big project right at the moment. So all about education and sharing my experiences and things I've learned over the years to try to help others.
Yes, I always love when you're on the show and I have my questions ready because I've been thinking about you because I'm like, what does Cheryl say about this? What does Cheryl say about this? I am on a weight loss journey right now. So I have some questions for you, but I know the ladies are talkers. We're going to see if Rob is going to be able to get a word in, but Rob is our next guest, Mr. Rob Elliott.
G'day, and from the other side of the world, Sydney, Australia. I hope everyone's having an absolutely awesome morning out of there.
Absolutely. I got to introduce you, Rob, that people don't know who you are yet. So Rob has 30 years in the business of sales and has given him all the tools he needs to help others rock in this business. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning again. And just on the outskirts of Sydney, Australia, 30 years in the sales industry. And I tell you what I love is helping people who think that sales is hard. Sales is one of the easiest things you can do. Everyone's been in sales all their life. They just haven't realized it. And very shortly, I think in the next 2 weeks, if my publisher can actually get things going, my new book, The Sales Chain, will be out and available everywhere where you get your books online.
Absolutely. We're going to learn more about you, Rob. But we want to go over to our next guest, the lovely Miss Bridget. And Bridget is going to talk to us. She is the author of The Final Eighth and founder of the New York Voice Dialogue Institute. She is a former performer who earned a master's degree from Columbia University and teaches at numerous professional settings, including Omega Institute. She lives in New York City, where she maintains a thriving private practice. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well, and I'm also happy to be back. And I'm loving learning all about everyone already. I'm passionate about helping people reach their potential also. And when I was a performer, I was an improviser and naturally knew that we could embody different parts of ourselves. But then I stumbled upon this technique called voice dialogue, which changed my life, which you can embody different parts of yourself as a way to learn your own wisdom. And we have different types of wisdom and sometimes competing agendas. And that's how I came up with the concept of the final eighth, which is failing in sight of victory. It's a mystery. It's for hardworking, talented people who would be stuck mysteriously. And that was me. I worked hard. Working harder wasn't the problem nor the solution. And in that struggle, I realized we think we want our goal with every fiber of our being, but the truth is we don't. Some parts of us are against the goal, but for excellent reasons, and we want to learn more. This is not about like crush the inner critic or any of that kind of stuff. It's like, wait, what is that inner critic protecting us against? And it's always wisdom. And then we can alter how we are operating with this wisdom, because if working harder worked, do it. But this is for people where it wasn't about working harder. So I'm passionate about also the creativity that this unleashes.
Wow. Welcome. Glad to have you back as well. We had a lot of fun when you were here the last time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to switch it up because I had a question for Cheryl. But now I'm about to ask you that question, Bridget.
Okay.
Now I'm on this weight loss journey and I keep saying, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. But maybe there's something inside of me that's stopping me from actually obtaining my goal. What would you say to that?
Yes, I. In fact, I'm so glad you're asking because I had all these thoughts when I heard Cheryl say that. So a few things. One of the reasons I got into helping people was I was a personal trainer a long time ago. And I saw people when they lost weight, they basically gained access to other parts of themselves, confidence. They changed their life. They got success in business. And it kind of didn't make sense. Wait, you got stronger in your physical fitness, and now you have, you know, doubled your business. So I think weight loss and health building does incorporate different selves, but there are parts that are scared of being well. And I would say, go to that part, like, okay, what's the part that doesn't want to lose weight? And really listen. Don't try to convince it, because a lot of people are scared. Maybe they might be scared of the attention that they get. So that often what we find out with through the process of the final eighth is that the issue isn't what you think it is. So instead of saying my, easily influenced self is such a loser, it's the one that always wants cookies at night and I hate that part of me. Don't hate that part. Say, hey, cookie desirer, let's talk. And you maybe don't go for the cookie, but instead of going for the cookie, you journal from that part. What am I really hungry for? That's one of my favorite questions for clients. Have that part that's tempted by the whatever the food is that is tempting and say, okay, I want a cookie, but what am I really hungry for? And get underneath. And often that's much more about the essence, what our visions are, what our fears are. And sometimes these selves that don't want you to lose weight, it's because they're scared of the big emotions that will come. A lot of selves, their fear is actually feeling large emotions. So if you're like, okay, I'll learn to feel these emotions, whether it's sadness or even excitement, there's a way that when we change, even for the better, and I would even say especially for the better, there's a lot of breaks, resistant selves, because we are afraid of change. Evolutionarily, and you know, the meta concept is a great way in where you look at the whole and understand why they're afraid, but then you can adjust, like, okay, great. Well, let me help deal with that situation.
No, I love your answer. I love your answer. I'm gonna go over to Rob real quick because I just have to know. Rob, were you a personal trainer in your past life as well? Because I don't know how we got all these personal trainers on one show.
Oh. The personal training, nah, not even close. I mean, I did everything I could to avoid physical exertion.
I just wanted to check because I was like, we had 3 to 4. So maybe we got 4 out of 4. Sure, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I love everything that Bridget just said, because one thing when I work with people is obviously I'm very focused on nutrition, but really I have been more concerned with overall wellness in my life. You know, my past as being in psychology and a yoga instructor, I would love to see people get more of this ultimate wellness, like I talk about in my website tagline. And that's, you know, it's a little different for everybody. And certainly weight loss can be part of that. But I think one way to address some of those fears that come up when you're starting on a new journey is to really identify sort of other reasons, because I think people get really surface level with, you know, weight loss and that kind of being the answer to everything. But meanwhile, there's so many other feelings and thoughts and, you know, issues that they haven't dealt with. And that can really be a detriment in this whole weight loss process. So until you kind of deal with those things first, some of this other stuff is a lot more challenging. So I always try to get people to look at, you know, what are their goals? What are they to really get focused on health? Because I don't like the focus so much on weight loss as a society. And especially for us as women, it just gets to be, can really weigh you down and really be something that is an expectation that's placed upon you by others. I think really, if you can get to a point where you're more like, I want to do this because I want to be healthy so that I can be more effective in my business, I can be a more effective wife, mother, sister, friend, whatever it is, that's what I really like to see people focus more on. Now, of course, if they come to me saying, you know, I really want to lose weight and I really want to focus on my nutrition, of course we do that. But I try to just sneak in those other little things in there just so that they have a different perspective on it and try to get just focused more on physical, mental, spiritual health. And then I think a lot of that, once you get healthier in those areas, it really carries over to what you consume and how you're eating and getting rid of some of that stress that causes a lot of people to eat more.
Yeah, definitely agree. For me, it's the ice cream. I love ice cream, especially this night. I'm like, let me go get some of that ice cream that's already in the freezer. Plus, I'm trying to drink more water. So those are the things that I don't want to use the word struggling with, but that I'm contemplating. When I talk about contemplating, I'm sure Mamiko over here has some thoughts on this conversation.
Oh, yes, for sure. Well, you said in the beginning, you don't really think about what you think about. Well, that would be the first choice, right? The first step. Because what we really have said already, what Bridget and Cheryl and even Robert have said, is really the thought process. Because everything starts with the thought. And my whole view on, like, whether it's weight loss or making money or achieving a goal, writing a book, whatever it is, it all starts with our intrinsic motivation. But a lot of us have what I call the junk in the trunk from past years, usually a lot of stuff from childhood that kind of gets stuck in there, that holds us back. And these become like boomerang thoughts that we don't even think about that pull us into old habits and ways of doing things. And we don't know why we keep reaching for the ice cream when we know we should go for a run, right? And that is a whole process, is awareness. The awareness of why you think the way you do, why you feel the way you do, and starting to ask yourself those questions. Because here's the thing, from a neuroscience perspective, I'm a total neuroscience geek. Our brain is, and it's wired to avoid discomfort. Now, you know, you can imagine back in the days when we were living in, you know, in huts and in the wilderness, you had to have that sense of thinking in order to survive, because back then you would have a saber-toothed tiger running after you. So you knew, you know, fight or flight was important. But now in our modern society, our brains are always wanting to get us back to that place of, oh, this is difficult, don't want to do it. Oh, this is hard, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to make the hard choices because it makes me feel uncomfortable. And of course, we have the microwaves and we have the app for this and an app for that. Everything is about comfort. But the problem with a comfort zone, nothing ever grows there. Nothing ever changes. And Albert Einstein had a saying that is so true, is like doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is called insanity. So if we want to get away from thinking insane thoughts and wanting to see a shift in a change in our lives, in our relationships, in our bank balance, it really has to start with how we think about things. Because even like from a weight loss perspective, there's lots of layers, you know, like as Cheryl has said, is oftentimes you can start with nutrition, but there are a lot of emotional, spiritual thought processes that have actually driven us to become who we are, because we have formed habits over the years. We've learned behaviors. We've mirrored behaviors that have been mirrored to us, like parental, you know, there's a whole thing about nurture and nature, which we don't have to get into detail. Well, but at the end of the day, it has to start with a choice. Do you want this, and why do you want this? Because once you know your why, and I know it sounds like a cliche, you do have your sense of direction and your purpose, that when it is hard, when you are 3 o'clock in the morning having to write a book, and or when you know you don't feel like getting up at 7 in the morning to go for a run when it's freezing cold outside, or choose the apple over the ice cream, yeah, those are hard. But when you know there's a bigger reason why you're doing it, it makes a lot more sense, and motivation and purpose kicks in.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Absolutely. Now, one of the things in business that I've heard, I won't even say in business, in life, and I'll just share a brief story before I go into my question, is the idea of sales. And one of the last companies I worked for was for American Express. And I started at that job as a customer service representative doing reservations for the American Express Platinum card holders. And so their sales goal was 150,000. Their top agents were selling 300,000 a month. And I came in and I was doing 500,000 a month. And so they came to me and they said, Sharifa, we want you to teach everyone to sell like you do. And I said, well, I don't do everything by the book. And they said, well, we don't care which book you do it out of. And what I learned, though, was that it wasn't a problem with the people's ability to sell. It was their willingness to take the call or their willingness to ask for the sale. And I've never heard more people in life say they hate anything more than they hate sales. So I think that's a mindset. What are your thoughts, Rob?
Well, sales, it's just a mindset. Everyone's been selling their whole life. I mean, as soon as we learned that if we smiled at Auntie Madge, she gave us a cookie or a biscuit, as we call it. That's selling. I mean, people turn around to me and say, I'm terrible at it. And I go, well, what happens when you're down the pub on a Friday night and you see someone you want to have a dance with or want to buy a drink? Oh, that's no problem. I said, well, what's the difference? And look, you're so right. It has nothing to do with the book. It has nothing to do with their ability. It has completely everything to do with the mindset. You were talking about people just not wanting to take the sale straight up or ask for the sale. I remember when I was on the road, I was door knocking for an industrial company. And I learned very quickly, we call it pulling the Band-Aid off in Australia. As soon as you start pulling that Band-Aid off and just go, wow, I'm just going to walk in and say, g'day, how are you? All of a sudden your sales go up. And you go, wow, this isn't actually too bad. But you're talking about the mindset before. It's no different to weight loss. If you put it out there, you'll get the sale. At the same time, if you're overweight or you're unhealthy, or you say to yourself, I'm going to have a bad day today, guess what? That happens. It happens so much all the time. And, you know, people just got to turn around and say, well, you know, sales aren't that hard. It's just what I'm saying about it. I say to people, look, don't say those words. Say, sales is fun. Say, I'm going to rock today. 9 out of 10 times, it's fine. Sometimes, you know, you crash and burn. But you only crash and burn, and then you learn from what you've done. You learn from your mistake and try again. I love the best people who are in sales do not follow the sales book. They do not follow the company process of doing it. They just go organically, as we say. They just sit there and they do it. We were given 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. Every customer, it doesn't matter what you're selling, will tell you what they need if you just stand there and ask them a question. And they love talking about themselves. And that's basically all it is. It's really not that hard. A little bit of confidence, a little bit of overconfidence sometimes. Know your product. You can sell absolutely anything. And don't go on a talk show with 4 women because you're not going to get any other words in.
I think the women are being very nice. They've been
exactly.
I did one on my podcast with 4 out of the 6 authors of a book, and someone said to me, how was it? And I said, it was like herding cats. No hope whatsoever. But it was one of the most fun times. So I actually do love, I have a lot of female guests on my show, and they're actually more entertaining than a lot of the males that decide they won't come on.
Because we just say it like it is, right? We're not going to miss words. And even like what you were saying, I totally agree with you, Robert, because like you're saying about sales, and this is something that's, as I said, mindset's my thing. But what I've realized, and I've also helped, because I work a lot with business owners and entrepreneurs and, you know, leaders who are leading other people, is once you can make that switch from it's not sales, it's service. Someone is looking for something. Someone has a need for something. If I can put myself in their shoes and say, how can I help you? It's pretty much like you go to the store, right? Somebody, the owner of the store is, hello, welcome. How can I help you? It's like, it's not that hard. But it's that switch, wouldn't you say? It's like kind of just having a different attitude.
They say healthy mind, healthy body is healthy sales. It's pretty simple. All you ladies are talking about being healthy and being healthy in mind, healthy in body, healthy in attitude. You put all those together, you're going to be healthy at work, which means your boss is going to love you.
I remember someone asked me a question once about sales, and I realized the other great thing about it, because it's got this stress, oh, we have to make numbers. But I went back and I thought about some early childhood parts of me. And I realized I used to sell blueberries because I'd pick them in the summer when we went on vacation in Maine. I have 3 sisters. I'm the oldest. They were my staff. And we sold them every Sunday at the green market. And so also going back to times where like, wait a minute, I was an entrepreneur. And I remember I did the money. And if my sisters picked less, they got less money. Like I was a boss. They would say I'm bossy. But I love this because the other thing is you can say to people, just like you said, well, when you're at the bar and you want to buy someone a drink, it's an energy. And the way we would look at it, it's like you embody different selves and then it's fun. So if you have someone who like likes to dance, sometimes I'm like, well, bring your choreographer in. What if a choreographer said, all right, let's, you know, get this thing going. But back to agreeing with everything you said, it's a service. Then it doesn't feel like, oh, please like me or those parts of you, or I need to ask you a favor. And it's really listening, those 2 ears. So if someone says, I really need a car salesperson, I really need something where I can have my family fit everything in because we like to go fishing on the weekend, so we need a lot of space. And then the salesperson says, but I got this other car, da 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 da. I think often that salesperson will say, well, I guess I failed at sales, when no, you failed at listening. And it may not be the car with the most commission that you were trying to like push on them, but if you actually listen and give them what they need, then they're also going to tell their friends to come to you. So I think a lot of people who consider themselves maybe not so great at sales, it's because they're not having a meta approach. They're not like, if I have this happy, maybe even cheaper sale goes out the door, 100 people might come in asking for me, the salesperson. So I'm just agreeing. And I just I think sales can be great fun. Again, like for those of us that are competitive or athletic, you can access that part of you like, okay, I want to win this game. But you don't win by listening. Just like you can't win a ball game if you don't look at the ball and where it actually is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cheryl, what do you think? What are your thoughts on salesmanship?
Oh, I just a lot of agreement with all of this. But the one thing that was stood out to me about Robert's comment about listening, I really think that that is probably the biggest thing. But in addition to that, really asking questions as well. So as you're listening, you know, using the skills that we talk about in psychology a lot, reflecting, really trying to get to the root of what it is they're needing. Because like you said, I think Robert said something about, you know, if they're looking for what they need, or sometimes they are looking for something that they don't know exactly what they need yet. So sometimes I feel like if you're asking the right questions and really doing some deep listening and reflecting that stuff back, it helps people get to those deeper levels. And, you know, going back to the, you know, the example about weight loss, sometimes they say they want to lose weight just so they can look good for their high school reunion. But if you keep going, why? Actually, I had a guest on my podcast recently, and she was, it's called About Breaking Sugar Addiction. And she was saying, you know, always ask yourself at least 3 times more. Well, I want to lose weight. Well, why? Because I want to go to my high school reunion and look better. Well, why? So that, you know, people will know I'm successful. And then why? And so it just gets to these deeper levels. So I think on top of really doing deep listening, also asking some questions is really useful as well.
What are your thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, hit it 100%. But when it comes to asking questions, I know all you ladies would know this, but it's the type of question you also ask. An open question, not a closed question. You don't want a yes or a no question until you're getting to close the sale. You want an open question. We say, sell them what they want, give them what they need. The analogy about the car before was absolutely awesome. They might tell you they want this car, but if you give them the car that they really need, they're going to love you and they're going to tell everyone about it. And, you know, that's the thing that rocks. Listening, it doesn't matter in life, with your partner, to everyone it is. And when you ladies also were talking about sales in itself, the best salespeople I've ever met were females.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. They were ruthless.
Wow, I've never heard women
intuitive.
In typical Aussie style, we're normally straight to the point and honest. And ladies in the sales force are very driven, very focused. And I think it's because it's been a male-dominated area for so long and they feel they need to prove themselves. But I tell you what, their skill set, they take it as if they're looking at a naughty child and they tell them and they go for it. And it's absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
Thank you. Woman in intuition, you can't deny that, right? You can tell, like, is this guy feeling it or is he just giving me lip service, right? I think it's so important because it's like everything in life, whether you're pitching, trying to get your kids to do their homework or the husband to, you know, go on a vacation or whatever it is, in any situation you are trying to position yourself to not necessarily sell, but to serve in a way that's helpful to the other person and to yourself. But yeah, I love that idea of the fact that, and of course, I know you probably feel inundated, Rob, with all this estrogen in the room, but I'm gonna say it's, you know, very exciting to see that, you know, women are being more vocal, because I actually had a client earlier that I was talking with, that I was coaching with, and she's just saying, I finally found my voice. And I think that is, it's so important to have that ability where we can feel like we can voice our opinions, because I think that's a lot of where a lot of stuff happens in our head. And we think and we think and we overthink. And as adults, we totally overthink this. And I can say, as Bridget will love this, I was trained classical ballet dancer all my life, but I've actually switched to doing figure skating. I only started learning figure skating at the age of 31. I never learned how to skate. So I am proof that you can teach an old dog new tricks. Just a matter of mindset, putting yourself and getting up and doing it again and doing it again and doing it again, that we're guaranteed to fall. Like if you're guaranteed to not necessarily get the sale or not lose the weight, or, you know, you're not accomplish your goals, but that's okay. We just get up and do it again.
Absolutely. That's interesting. Interesting. We do need to stop for a brief commercial break and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Bridget Dangle Gaspard, author of The Final Eighth, Enlist Your Inner Selves to Accomplish Your Goals. Years ago, around the time I graduated with my master's from Columbia, I coined the term the final eighth to describe the painful stuck point I experienced and observed in others. Talented, hardworking, motivated people accomplish many steps toward a goal, 7/8 of it, but then are mysteriously stalled in sight of their finish line, whether it's career, relationships, financials, health, creativity, or personal growth. Powerful secret? Not all of us wants what we think we want, and for excellent reason. My book, The Final Eighth, takes a deep dive into the world of our hidden selves that have the keys to our full potential. In this video, my own final eighth was having the courage to take this leap of faith, even though I was terrified. The final eighth process helps you access the precise superpowers you need to break through your impasse and cross your finish line.
Wow, wow.
I think you should get that author on one day.
She's too busy, Rob. She doesn't have time to hang out with me. That was beautiful. You know how beautiful it was? I have like two or three more commercials that I could play. And I'm like, I don't even want to play those commercials. Oh. I want to talk to you, Bridget. That was so interesting. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on what Mamika was saying and the mindset, because it was a beautiful segue into your commercial.
Yes, exactly. The mindset is so important, and awareness. It's funny because there's so much similarities in the way we, I think, are talking about things. So the mindset and the meta is the same as awareness, and the more awareness of the different selves that you have. And I started it because it was mysterious why I was stuck. And it's my own journey. And so I used to get very upset. Like people would say, well, you know, work harder or all kinds of advice. But it's like, I did all that. I literally couldn't work harder. And there were parts of me I came to learn that was quite terrified of success. And as Mamika has mentioned before, some of it's from childhood, but there was a lot of danger in success for me. And so it was emotional danger. And so once I really learned that and also helped people understand it, I think the power of labeling to say, oh, this is a final eighth issue, is a meta approach to then say, it's not, I'm not being bad. I'm not stupid. I don't, those core negative beliefs that sometimes when we do struggle, when we do fall, and I love that image of when you try something new, you better give yourself permission to fall, like on the ice when you're learning how to skate for the first time. And so often people make that falling proof of their core negative belief, which is never true. It's true that you might believe that you're not good enough, but it's never true that you're not good enough. And I think being able to label, oh, this is an issue called the final eighth. I'm stuck inside of the finish line. I can label it. And now I have something I can do to help me move and cross that finish line.
Yeah, I think that is so beautiful. I definitely agree. Cheryl, you were nodding. What are your thoughts? What do you hear when you hear the final eight?
I feel like I need to read her book. That's because I mean, so many of these things are resonating because I kind of call myself a recovering perfectionist. So yes. I think part of the way that you come to accept those parts of yourself is doing some of this work that everybody's talking about, whether it's getting better at sales or finding out why you're afraid to be successful. And, you know, for me, for years, it was like this whole idea, if I wasn't doing it perfectly, I wasn't going to do it at all. And it just keeps you stuck. Actually, there was some article I wrote up many, many years ago about being stuck. And it's, you know, obviously all of these kind of the things when you typically write about it comes from some kind of personal experience or some kind of personal growth. And so just getting past that, I think any tools that you can find, and sometimes it's just like a switch flips or there's a certain scenario that happens and it kind of forces you to change. And for me, that was some of the health things that I had in my past and in my family. There's a whole lot of cancer. So a lot of those things were kind of a precipitating event to some growth and changes in my life. But I think anytime that you find these tools, like the book that Bridget wrote, or just somebody, some different perspective, like if you haven't been able to make that shift yet, you never know what you're going to read or listen to or hear through somebody else's experiences that helps you flip that switch. So thank you for putting out that in the world, Bridget.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I have to mention that you lovely ladies and Robert has mentioned the word stuck. Now, this is obviously one of the things that gets me excited because my next book I'm writing, I don't have anything to show you, but the book that will come up next year is actually called Unstick Your Mind, which is also the name of my coaching program, Unstick Your Mind. Now, I actually come from a business background. So as an entrepreneur, I was being a business coach for quite a few years. And I always used to find, I particularly come from the marketing and TV industry. But what I used to find with my clients is that personal problems or business problems are personal problems in disguise. So even if you are an entrepreneur or a high achiever and you feel like you're not reaching your goals or you're not making the money you want to, there's always some personal reasons that's under the hood. Now, we talked about cars, which I love this analogy because life is like a journey on the highway, right? Sometimes we're on a journey and we're on the highway and we see the signs and it says, you know, slow down. There is like a detour coming and we're like, I don't need to slow down. I'm like totally good. I know where I'm going. I don't need to follow the signs. And then eventually we can either get ourselves where we run out of gas and we hit burnout. Been there, done that, not advisable. Or we can kind of start to just listen to what the vehicle is saying. Like we're in the vehicle. Sometimes we need to take time aside to take to a rest area. And if you've ever been on a trip, you got to go and fill up your petrol with gas. You've got to go refresh yourself. And I think especially now because of the way the world has been and we've all been through, who even wants to mention 2020? Like, let's just, let's try to do a reset on that. But all of us find ourselves in a different situation in life, in business, in careers, in families, in relationships. But what I'm excited about is that people are finally thinking about what's important to them. They're finally thinking, well, I've been stuck in a job I hate, or I'm living in the area I don't like, or I'm in a relationship that isn't making me happy, or we have a choice. We can choose to get unstuck by making these decisions. But like we've alluded to, it doesn't come without some hard work. That, you know, that life doesn't come with any guarantees unless we do the hard work. So I'm excited to see where all of this takes us, especially coming into the new year and all the things we're all basically speaking from the same hymn book, but just in a different melody.
I love that. I remember COVID, you know, to honor people who lost things. It's a rough time, but I just used it and I'm saying it now, like, but whatever you didn't like before COVID, don't go back. So if it was a hardship because maybe your business closed, okay, but now think about what you want to do next, and that there were many things that are not to be repeated, and to get the courage to move forward. I just remember early on, some of those rivers cleared up within a couple of weeks, that they were less polluted when a lot of the planes slowed down. I'm not saying we shouldn't travel. I love traveling. But I just wanted people to remember that some of the narratives we bought weren't necessarily true, and that there may be some solutions that are closer than we think. And that's good news. I just remember early on the footage of seeing fish in rivers on this planet that hadn't been seen in a decade. And that just was so, it invigorated me. And I just want to throw that out so the hope continues, that what I like is maybe it's more doable for any of us to activate change in ways that are important to us. And that individually, we can make a difference, even though the bigger problems, of course, need us collectively.
Bridget, your book's actually awesome because a lot of people don't realize that people in sales, they have this bravado. People say they're confident, that they're actually quite the opposite. Most of them are actually introverts. Most of them are very, very easily spooked. And most people in sales that aren't doing well is because they're getting in their own way. Their mind is telling them things they can't do, they can do. And everything you just said and everything you're talking about in what your book is, it's true. Salespeople themselves need confidence. They need people to say they're doing it good. They need the sales coming in to give them. It's just not the dollars. When you are confident and you're rolling, it's absolutely brilliant. I was doing some business coaching the other week, and there was a lady who owned three shops and her sales were going down. Absolutely lovely lady, very passionate about her range of clothes. And there was one store she kept focusing on and focusing on. And I said, so which stores are making all the money? And she said, these two. But then she kept talking about the other one. She had so attached herself emotionally to the first store that she set up, it was dragging her business down. And it was a group coaching session. And I looked at her and I said, can I be completely honest? And she said, yes. I said, shut the first store. And she looked at me. And I know all you ladies have seen it before when you actually say something to a client that challenges them, that we call it poking the bear. And she just looked at me and put her head down. And we kept talking. We came back to her. And she said, thank you. She said, you were right. I was attached emotionally to that store. And it was like it was a big weight around her shoulders. It was slowing her down. And people have got to get this mindset out. They've got to look for what's good in life. They've got to look for what makes them get up in the morning and smile. If your job isn't doing it for you, or the company you're working for isn't doing it for you, leave. Go and find someone that's going to do it, because mentally and physically, you're going to be better for it than sitting there doing a job that you hate, that's no good for your mind or your wallet either.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. That reminds me of one of the things I talk about, the art of non-attachment. You know, that's an art form, to learn how to not be attached to so many things, because once we get attached to it, then we're stuck. As Mamika loves to say, we are stuck with that object, that store, that moment, and we can't let it go. But one of the things that you said was very interesting, because I consider myself an excellent salesperson. It's true. I'm very introverted. Most people don't know that about me. I come up, do the show. I can be an extroverted introvert, but then I go back into my little cave for the rest of the day. 24 hours later, I resurface. But the whole idea of the second thing you said, I'm trying to go back to the second thing you said, Rob. You said they're introverted and then
easily spooked.
Confidence.
No, that was it. Thank you.
Easy to spook. Yes.
Team effort. Go team. Easily spooked. Expand on that a little bit for me, Rob, because I'm like, wait a minute, that took me for a turn for a moment.
Look, a lot of salespeople, if they're having an average day and they come across a difficult customer, as we say, and they're quite rude to them, or they get to somebody and they thought they had the sale closed and they don't get it. It hits your confidence like an arrow through the heart, and it spooks you for the rest of the day. So, and you've got two choices. You can get up, brush it off and go again, or you can let that spook you and you're not going to get a sale for the rest of the day. So what I teach a lot of people is two things. Disengage. Have your 10-minute place somewhere. It can be in your car, it can be in your favorite park. Get rid of all the electronics, put a bit of music on, or even meditate for 10 minutes, and we call it resetting. Refocusing straight down the middle again and then go again. Because if you don't, you're spooked. It's like a guy who is kicking in the NFL. If he misses the first shot, pretty well sure he's going to miss the second and third shot because his confidence has taken a hit. So that's what we call getting spooked. You can either reset or you can let it define what the rest of the day is going to be. It's always your choice.
I like that. And I definitely agree. One of the things that I do is I notice, I call it energy. You know, it's like, okay, my energy is off. My mood is off. I have to shift it so I can get back in that mindset to go after the sale again. So it's a reset. I love that. I love that.
Bridget. I was going to say, just to add to that, like, if you just think about most celebrities and professional athletes, the difference between them and us isn't that makes them particularly special. It just means that they're more emotionally resilient and going to say, you know what, that sucks, but let's do it again. And let's do it again. And again, and that's literally the difference, is that who's willing to outlast and outplay their own insecurities, right? So, and that's what I think, if we can get our heads around the fact is that we all have it within us. We just need to decide that doesn't matter what gets thrown at me. And also, I mean, we could go into far more detail about emotions and the mind.
True.
But I think so many of us are driven by emotions. We're like, oh, I feel bad, or I feel rejected. And if we can kind of just separate our who from our do, like if I'm a business owner and what I'm doing is positioning and selling a product, and if someone says no, it has no correlation to me. It's neutral. The feeling is neutral. There's not a rejection of me. There isn't a, doesn't mean I've done something wrong. Nothing has gone wrong. It's just, it wasn't the right fit. So if we can kind of just shift that and change our perspective, we will find we'll be able to build a lot more resilience in our life and business.
I love that. And also one way kind of Rob mentioned music, which I agree. And I think in terms of the voice dialogue approach, so if you get disappointed because you don't make the sale, and I love that, it is a do, but the who takes it personally, the who within, and take the 10 minutes. And I might even say, and take the 10 minutes, depending how much space you have. And you can even have particular music. So in that 10 minutes, maybe you spend 3 minutes honoring the part of you that feels rejected and sad. So maybe you put a country music, somebody done somebody wrong song, and you let that part just go, oh, I feel terrible. Then you pump up the like, some type of rock and roll, like, okay, I'm going to get back in there. And so what I also love is that you can literally use music to induct these parts on purpose, but you validate every part. So the little part of you that's like, they hate me because I didn't get the sale, you can put on that country song. And the act of doing that also generates usually amusement, self-amusement, and then that again feeds confidence, and it does the shift. So I'm just throwing in some like concrete things people can do, because so often we probably all hear the question, okay, great, but how? And I think music is a wonderful way to make the shifts happen that you want from a meta point of view, because you're aware, today I want to make sales, it's a do, and I want to make sure which parts of my who are involved. I love that. I never heard that before.
Well, you just alluded to neuroscience, Bridget. Did you know that the neuroscience studies have actually said that your brain is affected by music, that you, when you listen to a melody or even when you sing, even for those non-singers out there, we all can sing. Okay. What happens is when you actually sing and you get your brain focused on melody, your whole part of your brain works together. And often we do things like we're doing accounting, we're in one part of our brain, or if we're dancing and doing something creative. But when you sing and you allow that music, it actually releases serotonin to help you relax and all the feel goods. And it actually helps your brain work together. So there you go. You even refer to actual science. Impressive.
Amazing.
We have to be careful with these country songs. I have a friend who dedicated a song to me from Toby Keith called "Let's Talk About Me." That's what she said. Like this whole song. Is,
like, you have to listen to that one.
Listen to it. Yes. He says, "Let's talk about me." I'm like, oh, okay. I talk too much about myself. That's why I have to learn to be quiet, especially on my talk shows. I had to be quiet like Cheryl over here. Cheryl, you usually more, you're enjoying the show?
Absolutely. I'm just stop listening, right? I'm reminded though of a book, and Rob, you might find this useful for your salespeople. And you know, my focus is a lot on psychology and habits and changing habits. And so when you guys were all talking about all this stuff, it reminded me of this book. So I used to play college golf, and I don't really play it all anymore, but there's this book called Golf Is Not a Game of Perfect, and it's written by a sports psychologist. And a thing that golfers use to kind of help them in the the rejection moments, but in golf, it would be like if you hit a bad shot or you scored poorly on a hole, you have this thing called a pre-shot routine. And all it is really, and this is for me, the power of habits and why I'm so focused on habits is you just become the person who does whatever the X behavior is, kind of regardless of how you're feeling, right? So if I hit a bad shot, it's like, okay, that was that moment, moving on now. And part of what gets you to the new state of mind is this pre-shot routine. So for golfers, it's like a certain number of breaths, a certain number of practice swings, the way you step up to the ball, the way everything that you do, these little behaviors, which could be a habit, reset your brain so that you're then able to be in the moment when it's time to hit your shot again, or time to make the sale again, or time to choose the, this food over the other when you're working on being healthier or losing weight. So it's just amazing to me how psychology has such a powerful and overarching usefulness in daily life in all aspects. I mean, just about anything that you're trying to accomplish, if you can rewire your brain to do these new habits and to kind of get these things on autopilot, it makes everything that you do so much easier, whether it's sales, whether it's weight loss, whether it's writing, whatever it is.
Yes.
Cheryl, you're so correct. People buy emotionally and then justify logically later, which is true. I mean, we all go down and we'll see something nice down the shops. I love it. I look at it, I buy it. And then you've got to justify it to your partner when you come home while you bought it. But in the same way, salespeople, politicians, sports people make many, many decisions emotionally. And when they do, then they've got to justify them logically later. And that doesn't always work out. When you were saying before about thinking about the psychology, I knew a very, very high profile politician in Australia. When he wanted to make a tough decision or couldn't make that decision, he'd go for a run around Parliament House in Canberra. And every time he did that, he trained his mind that by the time he came back, he could make the decision and the decision was always right. Again, it was habit forming. He did the reset and it worked every single time. Ronaldo only said it the other week, the soccer player, I have no more ability than anyone else. It's just my mindset and my attitude puts me above most.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I do something kind of similar. Whenever I can't make a decision, I tell myself to let it go. And then I revisit it in at least 24 hours. I'll say, come back to it, because I don't take the time to sit there and just harp on it and harp on it and harp on it. I'm like, maybe there's some more information. Maybe I just need a nap. I don't know. My nap is you're off for everything, but
you just do like Elsa, let it go, let it go.
You know, sometimes your subconscious mind just needs some time to work on it too, because you're doing a lot of really like frontal lobe executive level functioning thinking when you're trying to make a decision. And so if you can, and I think you did, that's so perfect what you said, it's sometimes if you can just let it go and quit overthinking it and on that, then your subconscious gets a chance to kind of work on it. Like you said, other information comes in or just other feelings come up. And then quite often, you know, and then get a good night's sleep. That helps a lot too, especially when you're making a big decision, let go of some of that stress. And then when you get up the next day and you start to think about it again, quite often you're thinking about it in a totally different way, because your brain is kind of, I feel like your brain just kind of works on things in the background sometimes when you've got a big decision to make or there's something that you're worried about. And if you put too much focus on it in the moment and keep, ruminating on it. Yes. Thank you. When you keep ruminating on it, it's not healthy. So I think, Sharifa, that's like a great practical tip for people. Like if you're struggling to make a decision, like, yes, you need to think about it, maybe write some thoughts down about it, but then at some point, like move on with your day, go to the next task, do something else, and just let your brain kind of work on that in the background a bit.
Yes.
Oh, you can tell yourself you're being an artist of non-attachment in that moment. Yes, oh, I have to be an artist of non-attachment. I'm going to let that go for now.
That sounds what like an excuse not to make a decision.
I was about to say the same thing, Rob, but not an excuse. But also, I do that sometimes when I need to make a large decision, a big decision, a life-changing decision. I never make life-changing decisions immediately. I always have to, you know, give myself at least 24 hours to think about it, to mull it over, because so often we make quick decisions and then later on we go, you know what? I could have done that different. I should have done that. So I just like to not rush, not be pressured. But you know what? This has been an incredible show. I had a lot of fun, great conversation. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Rob.
Oh, that's okay. Look, today's been absolutely awesome. I'd just like to say to everyone, look, sales isn't that hard. Sales is fun. Just enjoy it. Joy for the ride. And if you want to learn more about it, go to my website, thesaleschain.com, where my new book's coming out in the next couple of weeks. You'll be able to get it, have a read, look me up, and if there's anything I can help you with, just say g'day.
Oh, I like that. Say g'day. I might have to use that in my closing, change it up a little bit. Lamika, what do you have for the people?
Yes, well, I appreciate the opportunity. As I said, if anyone would love any more information regarding how to unstick your mind, I have a podcast called Unstick Your Mind. My book is called Unstick Your Mind, which will be coming out next year. And my training program, which is a 6 to 8 week mental coaching program. group setting is called Unstick Your Mind. And I have a lot of resources on my website. So the best place to connect with me is mamikakuni.com. And I also have a free book as well called Mindset Makeover, which is one of my ones I wrote a couple of years ago that is still working really well. But just the encouragement that if you make the decision today to be aware of what you want to change, you can do it. Just putting in the effort in, and awareness is 90% of the way there. So there you go.
I like it. So is it going to be the Unstick Your Mind podcast, the Unstick Your Mind Facebook group, the Unstick Your Mind? What is this like?
Oh, my podcast and the book and my coaching program are all called Unstick Your Mind. And we follow this process, our own signature process I've developed. Also, like using habits is one of our big things. You know, self-care is another big thing. Overcoming mental blocks and understanding, thinking about what you're thinking about, and really goal setting with growth in mind, because life is a growth. It's a journey, right? And we may as well have fun and enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. And today's show has definitely been a lot of fun. Want to go over to Ms. Cheryl. What do you have for us?
So to end the day, to end the show, I know a lot of people are going to start thinking about what they want to do with their New Year's resolutions. And quite often that does include weight loss, or it might include just changing other habits to become healthier, happier in the new year. That's certainly what I'm focused on in my work. I have, like I said, the cookbook is out. So if you're thinking about changing the way that you eat, that might be a great resource, because there's also some information in there about just sort of some of my philosophies and how to do certain things. And that's at cookbook.healnourishgrow.com. But the thing that I am working on now that might be useful to people coming up in the new year is this idea around, you know, if you are deciding to change your diet, if you are deciding to try to lose weight, those sorts of things, people can get really bogged down in that, and it can overtake your life. And so I like to incorporate these diet breaks. And it's not that you totally go off the rails and do crazy things when you're off of it, but it's just giving yourself like these little breaks so that you can kind of reset, you can assess where you are, you can have a break from the diet culture, from all that day-to-day worrying, tracking, you know, doing all these changes. So I think it'll be really useful for people. And that should be out early January. And just go to the website if you want more information on that.
HealNourishGrow.com. I'm going to check out the cookbook. I'm definitely going to check out the cookbook, Cheryl.
But you don't like to cook, Sharifa. I learned that last time.
Honest, though. I can't lie to you. I have to be honest. I need a cookbook that comes with the cook. Like, that's the thing. The cookbook for me without a cook is I don't know. It's like a car without wheels. Like, I'm not going anywhere, but everyone else should definitely pick up a copy of your book. Thank you.
But I think you came up with a great business idea. If who wouldn't want to cook with the cookbook?
Right.
So there's a niche market for whoever that hits.
Definitely. Bridget, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm so glad to be here today. And I've got my book, The Final Eighth, Enlist Your Inner Selves to Accomplish Your Goals. And one of the main tools is voice dialogue. And so every third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, I offer a free voice dialogue learning lab. So you can contact me at thefinaleighth.com or anywhere on social media. But come, it's free. And we do a full voice dialogue session that's live. So you can see how it is to embody different parts of yourself. And then we do a group exercise. So whoever comes, you'll get a taste of it. And I think there's nothing like actually living this technique to make you realize, oh, I can do this. And of course, get the book. My audiobook version will be out soon, because many people like to listen as opposed to read with their eyes. But come join us every third Thursday. And also every eighth of the month at 8 p.m., I go live on Instagram to answer questions. Because I have agree with so much of what we shared today, that the different parts of you that are against your goal, really, they have your back. And so when you really listen to them, kind of Cheryl just said it, like if you're on a very disciplined, shall we say, health plan, you want to also honor the parts of you that are undisciplined and give yourself a break. And so the way voice dialogue and the final eighth process works is you end up bracing all of yourself, because you're not broken. You're not trying to fix something like somehow it's a pathology. It's more like getting to know yourself, getting a meta awareness of yourself, And then making conscious choices about what you would like for today. Because exactly, development is a force of nature, and it's just the way we're designed. And so if we have fun with our development, whatever it is, I mean, I hope to be one of those 95-year-olds who like pick up the newest technology and have someone show me how it works and I'm using it. I don't want to stop ever. And I want to help other people understand, don't stop because you're a certain age or a certain X, Y, or Z. Keep it going.
I love it. That's why I want to go through this weight loss journey, is so that I can be that 98-year-old, you know, doing all those cool things. But I'm going to plan. See, I helped Cheryl out with her new business idea. I'm going to give you another one, Bridget. You got to get your event for August 8th at 8 a.m. next year. August 8th, 8 a.m. is going to be the final 8th event.
Done.
That was my
and of course, it's going to be dancing if it's my event. All right. And I don't care if it's 8 a.m. It's going to be 8 p.m. somewhere in Australia or somewhere.
That's true. So true.
This is we'll make it at 8 p.m. I don't know. I'm just saying August 8th at 8. It just sounds like a really great idea. This has been a lovely, lovely show. I had a lot of fun. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. But I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching the show. I appreciate you sharing the show. But the most important thing to me is that you support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to share their information, their stories with you. So please support them. Visit their websites. Their link is in the description. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says, good day. I love that. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.